Now, one of the earliest stories I covered as a foreign correspondent was the first political campaign of the former Pakistan cricket captain Imran Khan. He was beloved. Even then, it was widely thought he would one day become the country's prime minister, an office he finally got to occupy in 2018. And if he became the prime minister, there was a chance he could end up either being assassinated, executed, or imprisoned. Such is the chaotic nature of Pakistan politics. He actually survived an assassination attempt, but he's been behind bars since August 2023, following multiple corruption convictions. This week, in a letter to Pakistan's government, 14 former cricket captains from around the world raised concerns about his treatment. The letter was organised by the Australian cricketing legend Greg Chappell, who I spoke to earlier. Greg Chappell, thanks so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you very much.
Imran Khan was a rival who became a friend. And a lot of that friendship, as I understand it, developed on Pakistani soil.
Yes, interestingly enough. Obviously, we played against each other a lot, both in county cricket and test cricket. He was a great competitor. You know, he turned himself from a medium-pace bowler into a fast bowler. He was a genuine all-rounder. His batting was good enough to be picked in test cricket alone. So he was a true all-rounder, a true competitor, but he was always a very respectful opponent. And I kept in touch with him. I was lucky enough to spend some time in Pakistan following my retirement. I worked in Pakistan at the National Cricket Academy for a few months in 2004. Being in his country, I felt obliged to make contact, and I did, and caught up with him and really enjoyed the conversations we'd had. He'd begun his political career by that stage, and it was quite fascinating to listen to his story and the reasons why he was running. He didn't need to do it. He had a very comfortable life. He could have lived very well either in Pakistan or in England, but he chose public service, and his comment was that he wanted his country to be the country that it could be.
And he ended up as prime minister, of course, and you actually visited him in Islamabad, the Pakistan capital, in 2020, and you had a kind of audience with Imran Khan, and even then you could sense the sort of pressures that were upon him.
Yes, you know, it's an incredible job. It's an incredible job anywhere, but obviously in a country of you know, high passion and so on, it was a challenging role. I was visiting Pakistan with a business group, and again, I felt obliged to having, you know, being in his country. I was in Lahore, so I made contact via a mutual friend, and he invited me down to Islamabad. So I travelled down by car. Shane Watson and Viv Richards were both in Pakistan at that stage with the Pakistan Premier League. So the three of us met with Imran in his office, and I think we were wedged in between the Saudis and the Americans. The Americans had to wait for what was meant to be a 15-minute audience became a 45-minute audience. You know, we talked about the situation again, and it was obviously fluid, and there was a lot of pressure being applied to him at that stage, and only months later he was tipped out of office and pretty much has been in jail for most of the time since.
I want to get to that. I was struck, having covered his first political campaign back in the 1990s, how there seemed to be a sort of shift in Imran Khan. I mean, the player I remember was this kind of swashbuckling playboy almost, this ridiculously handsome sportsman. The politician, and I interviewed him back then, struck me as much more serious-minded, far more somber. I wonder what you made of that shift.
You know, it was a personal shift. It was a spiritual shift as much as anything else. I think he'd been affected greatly by his mother's illness and her passing. He had raised money and built cancer hospitals, free cancer hospitals in Pakistan. And I don't recall him actually saying it, but I think he promised his mother that you know, he would dedicate himself to his spiritual path and to his country. And I, I noticed a huge shift, and that was noticeable probably way back in 2004 as well. And then when I caught up with him again in 2006, he'd even strengthened that belief, and he was a very different person, but always a very respectful, gentle person. Even though he was a fast bowler, he did it in a gentle, gentle fashion. He wasn't that far different, except that I think, he'd found his spiritual path, and he was, and in one of the conversations I had with him, I suggested that his life could be in danger in the role that he had chosen, but he wasn't concerned about that. He felt that, his mission was supported by God, and that if he was, if it was meant to be, it would be.
He did survive an assassination attempt. Like other Pakistani prime ministers, he has ended up in prison on various corruption charges. And it's the plight he finds himself in prison, the treatment that he is being subjected to, that has led you to take this initiative. Just how did it come about? This letter that has been signed by some of the greats of international cricket.
Yeah, well, I'd been uncomfortable for a long time. I have stayed in touch with a number of friends in Pakistan, many of whom are close friends, one probably Imran's best friend, and he hasn't been able to speak to Imran for most of the time that he's been in jail. And, it has been agonizing, and, I felt that I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what. I didn't think that, one voice on an X clip or even a letter from one person wasn't going to make that big an impact. So I sort of stewed on it for a long time until I heard from our mutual friend from there that his health was deteriorating, his sight in his right eye was deteriorating very quickly. And I was sort of lamenting this with a friend of mine here in Australia, Darshak Mehta, and Darshak said, well, why don't you get some of the other captains to support a letter to the Prime Minister? And that really galvanised me. I went straight into action. I contacted quite a few of the international captains. Every one of them came back immediately with, yes, we'd like to support this. And within sort of 24 hours, the letter had been presented. We'd sort of made, I showed the guys my initial piece that needed a little bit of polishing, and we went with the final one, as I say, with 24 hours or so later. And I've got to say, I'm heartened by the response. It's been a very public outpouring of support for Imran. A number of other cricketers have since contacted me and said that they'd like to be involved if we're doing anything else. So I think this is something that needed to be done. I felt if I was in his situation, I would like my friends to put their hand up and say something. This is not a political issue as far as we're concerned. This is a human rights issue, and he deserves to be well looked after. Even if he's in jail, he needs the best of support, and certainly the best of medical support in the situation that he's in.
The signatories to this letter read like a Wisden greats edition. Michael Atherton, Alan Border, Mike Brearley, Ian Chappell, Belinda Clark, David Gower, Kim Hughes, Sir Clive Lloyd. Also an Indian legend, Sunil Gavaskar. He's been talking about the letter to India Today.
Not every cricketer is world famous, and he's put Pakistan's name on the world map with his exploits on the field. So clearly, I think he deserves a lot of human treatment and proper treatment so that, he gets better.
That was Sunil Gavaskar. Greg, do you think this letter can change anything? Do you think this letter is going to improve the sort of prison conditions that he is being held in?
I would hope so. Just on Sunil Gavaskar, I must say, he and Kapil Dev, it is enormously courageous of them to put their names to it. India and Pakistan obviously aren't on the best of terms, but Sunny came back to me within 1 minute when I sent him the message to see if he was interested in supporting it. And yeah, that highlights just the thought that Imran is held in by his friends and opponents alike.
Often governments in South Asia listen to cricketers more than most. Do you get a sense that you have a kind of extra power because of your brilliance as a cricketer?
Look, I think so. I mean, harnessing the power of cricket was sort of where we came from. I thought, well, you know, one voice in the wilderness is probably not going to make much difference. But because cricket is very powerful in that part of the world, and I wanted it to be as international as possible, and I was hoping that, you know, we would get some support from India because that would make it even more powerful. We don't want to get into the politics of it. I think in many ways that would weaken our voice. I think the fact that this is a human rights appeal and it is international, and I was very keen to have Belinda Clark involved as well. I think it's important that, it's seen to be as broad as possible.
Greg Chappell, you're trying to help a mate.
Well, yes, and I would imagine that Imran would do the same in return.
It has been such a treat to speak to you this morning. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
My pleasure, Nick. Thank you.
That was former Australian cricketing great Greg Chappell talking about the imprisonment of Imran Khan.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.